Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feasts of St. Pontian and Hippolytus. And you might say, and who might they be? Well, let me give you this little introduction that we find in Magnificat magazine, because it's pretty special. Pontian was elected Roman pontiff in 231. At this time, the priest, Hippolytus, was in active schism, ruling as a rival pope or an anti-pope. In 235, during the persecution of Maximus, both pope and anti-pope were exiled to Sardinia and died there of ill treatment. But not before Hippolytus had reconciled himself to the church. And I read this quote from St. Hippolytus. Notice that? He was in schism for a while. He was in opposition for a while, but he turned and was reconciled. There is hope for all of us. In fact, he's a saint. So let us not be at enmity with ourselves. How much time we fight against our very selves. Let us not be at enmity with ourselves, but change our way of life without delay. This is St. Hippolytus. For Christ, who is God, exalted above all creation, has taken away man's sin and has refashioned our fallen nature. God is not beggarly, and for the sake of his own glory, he has given us a share in his divinity. You could just ponder that. He has given us a share in his divinity. We're going to live forever. Think about that today. Think about who you are in Christ. First reading today is taken from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 1, verses 2 to 5, and then 24 to 28. On the fifth day of the fourth month of the fifth year, that is, of King Jehoiakim's exile, the word of the Lord came to the priest Ezekiel, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kebar. There the hand of the Lord came upon me. This is the prophet Ezekiel speaking. As I looked, a storm wind came from the north, a huge cloud with flashing fire enveloped in brightness, from the midst of which, that is, in the midst of the fire, something gleamed like electrum. Within it were figures resembling four living creatures that looked like this. Their form was human. And then I heard the sound of their wings like the roaring of mighty waters, like the voice of the Almighty. And when they moved, the sound of the tumult was like the din of an army. And when they stood still, they lowered their wings. Above the firmament, over their heads, something like a throne could be seen, looking like sapphire. Upon it was seated up above one who had the appearance of a man. Upward from what resembled his waist, I saw what gleamed like electrum. Downward from what resembled his waist, I saw what looked like fire. He was surrounded with splendor. Like the bow which appears in the clouds on a rainy day was the splendor that surrounded him. Such was the vision of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So Ezekiel is given a vision of the Son of God. Do you know that one day you will see him face to face? You really will see Jesus face to face, who will present you to the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are infinitely precious to God. God, who could manifest himself in all his splendor and glory and majesty and power, that same God could humble himself, taking on our mortal, weak flesh, becoming like us in all things but sin, to save us. To save us. Psalm 148, heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all you his angels. Praise him, all you his hosts. Praise him, honor him. glorify him. It says heaven and earth are filled with your glory. That's what the psalm tells us. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. But we're part of that glory. If we're living in grace, if we're seeking to follow him, but we can't see it with human eyes, and so we don't think it's true. Ask God to increase your faith. This is true. God will not lead you. He will never lead you under the wrong path. He wants you with him for all eternity. Trust him. Follow him. And the gospel for today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 22 to 27. Now, pay attention to this because there are several things that happen in this particular passage that are very important. Matthew 17, beginning with verse 22. As Jesus and his disciples were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And they were overwhelmed with grief. He tells them that he will die. He tells them that he will be died a very terrible death. But he also tells them he will be raised on the third day. That's our hope. He rises, and the doors to heaven are opened to us. That should be among the most serious elements of understanding who you are and where you're going. You were not made just for this earth. You're made for eternal union with God. That's who you are. You are that precious in God's sight. Remember, God doesn't look at billions of people. He can simultaneously look at every single heart and know you better than you know yourself. Trust him. The gospel continues. When they came to Capernaum, let me stop for a moment, though. That very last verse in that first section, it says, and they were overwhelmed with grief. They were overwhelmed with grief. They are beginning to understand. Remember the first time that Jesus said something about dying, and Peter said, "No, no, no." And Jesus had to reprimand Peter. It just says here, they were overwhelmed with grief. I am very struck by that. I was looking at Merikakis's volume 2 on the fire of mercy. And in this marvelous, marvelous set of books that I've mentioned to you a number of times before, in this he speaks of the incredible pain. In fact, he says this, as Jesus said, "The Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men." This is much more effective than if the text read, "Jesus is to be delivered," or "I am to be delivered." The truth that the finest flower of our race, the Son of Man, will be betrayed by men underscores the tragic self-defeat under whose influence we human beings most often operate. In betraying God, in lacking faith in God, in killing God, we are actually betraying, distrusting, and destroying ourselves. God does not come to us as an alien, but as one of us, as our loving brother. We hate God's approach in Jesus for the same reason that Joseph's brothers hated him and attempted to kill him, because Jesus presents us with the reality of our better selves, and we thus feel in our flesh the sharp edge of judgment and inferiority. We feel we must change and become conformed to his beauty, or we feel we must destroy that beauty so as to do away with its adverse judgment of our corruption. But Jesus' divine strategy is to allow himself to fall into the abuse and the violence of men's hands. Now listen to this. Jesus' divine strategy is to allow himself to fall into the abuse and violence of men's hands so that when they wound him, they will be covered by the tide of his blood, which has the power of absorbing into its love and thus neutralizing the worst hatred of which men are capable. Think about that. Think about that. Let's continue with this gospel reading. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax approached Peter and said, "Does not your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes," he said. And when he came into the house before he had time to speak, Jesus asked him, "What is your opinion, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take tolls or census tax? From their subjects or from foreigners?" And when he said, "From foreigners," Jesus said to him, "Then the subjects are exempt. But that we may not offend them, go to the sea, drop in a hook, and take the first fish that comes up. Open its mouth, and you will find a coin worth twice the temple tax. Give that to them for me and for you." Jesus is obeying the law, man's law, but he's doing it to teach them how to follow him. What is justly due to another, you pay. So there's a whole lot in this particular gospel passage that we don't have time for it, although I wish we did. But I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, Jesus became flesh so that we would not be totally afraid of him. If we saw him in all of his glory, we would die. We would die. We couldn't handle it. But he came to us in the flesh, and he's trying to lead us into union with him that he might bring us safely home to the Father. Don't fight him. Yield to him. It's hard, because when Jesus teaches us, it exposes our weakness. It exposes our deficits. But instead of giving up or turning away, say, "Lord, I can't change this, but I bring my life to you and ask you to help me. I will do all I can, but help me to break this habit, this pattern of sin. Help me to see such and such a situation differently. Help me to forgive," and keep going to him, and he will change us. He will supply. It's not us working it all out ourselves and somehow managing to get close to the end and then come to the Lord and say, "Okay, I did it." No. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened. I will give you rest. I will give you wisdom. I will give you help. I will walk with you to my Father." God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.